Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sportskin India Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Devansh Dedhia from MUFG Intime India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Sportskin India Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants on the Q4 and FY25 financial results discussion call. Today on the call, we have with us Mr. Munish Awasthi, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, Mr. Sandeep Sachdeva, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Lavlesh Sharma, the Company Secretary. With this, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Sachdeva for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I will take you through the financial performance of the company for the quarter and financial year ended 31st March 2025. For the Q4 FY25, Sportskin India Limited achieved revenue from the operation of 628.8 crores, up 3% year-over-year. In this revenue, share of export was approximately 356 crores for the quarter. Gross profit stood at 167.4 crores with an increase of 14% on YoY basis and 13% on sequential basis. Gross profit margin expanded by 265 basis points year-over-year and 235 basis points quarter-over-quarter. The gross margin for the quarter stood at 26.6%. EBITDA stood at 74.3 crores, increasing by 11% YoY basis and strong 30% on QoQ basis. EBITDA margin expanded by 84 basis points YoY and 247 basis points over the sequential quarter to 11.8%. Profit after taxes was INR 36.1 crores, seeing an increase of 58% YoY and more than doubling on sequential basis, registering a growth of 122% QoQ. Profit after taxes margin was 5.7%, experiencing a margin expansion of 200 basis points on yearly basis and 307 basis points on a quarterly basis. For full financial year FY25, Sportskin India Limited achieved revenue from operation of INR 2525 crores, up 6.2% YoY. The gross profit stood at INR 609 crores with an increase of 17.7% on YoY basis. Gross profit margin expanded by 236 basis YoY. EBITDA for the FY25 was INR 262.9 crores with an EBITDA margin of 10.4%. EBITDA increased by 28.2% YoY. EBITDA margin improved by about 179 basis points YoY. EBITDA margins are now back to a double-digit figure as seen historically. Profit after taxes was INR 109.3 crores, seeing an increase of 55.3% YoY. Tax margins were 4.3%, experiencing a margin expansion of 137 basis points on yearly basis. The company had another exceptional quarter in the sports front with an overall mix of sales from the sport increased to 38% in Q4 FY25 from 41% in Q4 FY24 and marginally up from 57% in Q3 FY25. Overall, quarterly sports sales increased by 43% year-on-year and 5% sequentially. For the full financial year, sports sales grew by 15%, contributing to a little more than majority of the financial sales at 52%. Capacity utilization at 96% remained at the same level as Q4 FY24. Overall capacity utilization for the full year has remained comfortably around the 95% mark as has been amongst the best in the industry. On the balance sheet front, both non-current borrowings and current debt pertaining to working capital limits availed during the cotton procurement season have been paid on materially leading to healthier balance sheet and saving on debt servicing. Our debt to equity ratio improved from 0.97 in March 2024 to 0.58 in the March 2025. Interest cost during the quarter was down by 44% and pre-tax interest coverage, EBITDA interest cost, improved to 4 times in FY25 compared to 2.6 times in FY24. Thank you all. Now I will hand over the call to Mr. Munish Awasthi, CMD of the company, for his remarks on the results and the outlook.
Thank you, Sandeep ji. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have an opportunity to go through our press release and the investor deck. The textile industry continues to operate at a steady pace. India's textile and apparel exports saw a 6.32% increase, primarily driven by a 10% surge in apparel exports last fiscal. Cotton prices have remained range-bound with less volatility. The Cotton Corporation of India continues to hold a very significant stock of cotton driven by MSC-related actions and has secured close to 100 lakh days of cotton in the current cotton season. Cotton yarn spreads continue to be influenced by encouraging demand and have marginally improved over the previous quarter. Softer input costs due to staggered schedule of raw material procurement has enabled margin expansion, which drove the overall outperformance in the current quarter. Exports have been a source of strength in yet another quarter, and we achieved the highest ever exports revenue for the full financial year during this fiscal. While the full effect of tariffs remain an uncertainty, going by the current structure, Indian textile sectors have emerged as marginal favorites and better placed compared to some of the most prominent Asian textile giants. There are few negatives which are still plaguing our industry and which continue to be the obstruction in us achieving our true potential, like MSC operations and the import duty on cotton. But all this the scenario still presents an opportunity for the existing Indian players to capitalize and capture some global market share. We at Sporting are well positioned to serve both domestic and export demand given our long operational history, diversified clientele base, strong domestic presence, as well as a global outfit. Overall, we are pleased with our business performance in financial year 25 as we delivered robust broad-based growth. We are excited about the future as the impending trade deals with USA, Europe and the UK can be a watershed moment for textile industry, and they all look pretty imminent in nature. We at Sporting are ready for our next growth cycle and are exploring various options in front of us, and we shall be sharing news on that front very soon. I pass on the call to the moderator to open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, firstly, many congratulations for great numbers. And sir, I wanted to understand whether this quarter, the roughly 75 crore EBITDA that we have done, can we consider the same kind of number for the coming four quarters of this year, and can we consider it as a base number, or should we expect further improvement in this number, or sir, what should we expect going forward?
Thank you, sir, for your compliment. So, we expect the numbers, you know, we don't give generally a guidance, but we expect to be in double digits going forward the next year. So, there are so many moving parts right now, so we cannot commit for a longer term, longer future. But there are so many things happening, so this can, you know, go up or slightly down. It's a very dynamic situation right now the industry is in, with all these tariffs and the treaty agreements and all these happening. So we will abstain from giving any guidance.
Right, sir. And sir, also now two of our group companies were supposed to be merged, which are into dyeing and retailing of garments. So by when will this is expected to get completed? And sir, I'm unable to understand that when the promoter shareholding is already 74 or almost 75%, which is the highest permissible limit, Will the company make a cash payment, or sir, how exactly will the transaction shape up?
So right now we are, you know, still in, we know all this, and we are still under the process is still going on. So we are looking at various options in offering, you know, preferential shares or one thing I can assure you is there won't be any outflow of cash from the company.
Right, sir. And sir, if we see that in the our sales to these companies, group companies was hardly 11 crore in FY24 out of a total revenue of like 2400 crore. So I don't think that there's a major forward integration by merging these companies. So can you give us some idea about it, that what percentage of our total yarn output will be consumed captively in the forward integration once these firms are merged?
Sorry, what were you saying? 11 crores? I didn't get your listing.
Sir, last year, FY24, Sports King made sales of 10.76 crores to these companies, the group companies, which are now being merged. So now that's not a very significant number. So now once they are merged, what percentage of our total output, yarn output, will be consumed captively in-house?
So the decision is strategic in nature, and we right now we consume our purpose is to scale up those businesses and to get that entry into those businesses. So right now we might be, you know, selling only 11 crores worth, but going forward we expect to consume much more. There will be much better integration. So that's what we are working on actually right now. So once we are, you know, we finalize the plan, you know, we come to the shareholders and tell them in detail.
Great, sir. Thank you very much. And I again want to congratulate you for the deleveraging. That company has paid off almost over 360 crore of debt in a single year. So that's a great achievement. And I want to congratulate you on the associate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mahesh Atal from Atal Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations on your numbers. Just had few questions on the broader market. So what's your view on the market going ahead, like for the next financial year? How do you see the, you know, Indian market, I mean the domestic market, and what would be our, you know, what would be your opinion on the market going ahead, and also your viewpoint on the raw material pricing in the next year?
So we are, as I stated by opening statement, that we are very excited about you know, the future, the next year and the years, many years going forward, because you know, since, you know, last 2 months there have been a lot of interest, renewed interest in Indian textile sector. Everybody wants to come to India, and we see a lot of positives happening. People are really, really serious this time, and so we are really excited for the future, and we seem to be in the front line in making deal with the USA, maybe the first country to make the deal with the USA, and they can, that it can only be, you know, beneficial to the textile sector, and with the, you know, preferential treatment which our competitors used to get till now, and now we will be getting those treatment instead of them. So we are very excited, and there's a lot of investments we see happening in downstream, and we are very excited for the future, the midterm and long-term future. And about cotton prices, you know, there is we feel the cotton prices are going to be stable where they are. Like there won't be much movement, maybe, you know, 2-3% price within a range of 5 cents. For next, till October. There is a lot of movement. The government is seriously considering to remove the import duty. If that happens, that will be another stimulus for the textile industry, spinning factory residents.
Sir, my another question would be on the, you know, the import ban that US had on Xinjiang cotton. So what's the story over there, sir? I mean, where is that cotton? I mean, that cotton must have been coming to some other market. It must be dumping somewhere, right? So do you think that, you know, this raw material pressure would be still there because of this?
Yeah.
Second would be, sir, what I understand is that most of the cotton that was coming from that region was going on to premium apparel kind of thing. So do you really think that companies could, you know, companies which are in India, I mean, premium yarn could be, you know, a bigger share, we can have a bigger share from our side to that segment?
Yeah, I'll answer your question about Indian cotton. So first of all, it's not premium cotton, it's a similar cotton as we produce in India. There's nothing premium about that cotton, that, you know, the products made out of that cotton can be made by the Indian cotton also. First point is that. And the second is, you know, China as a country consumes about 9 million tons of cotton every year. And total production of China is 6.4. And so what they generally do is to export to US and other countries where the Xinjiang is banned. They don't use that cotton. They use the cotton they import or the yarn they import. And China is definitely, of course, one of the biggest consumer of apparel and home textiles for the domestic consumption. So most of their Xinjiang cotton is used for their own domestic consumption.
Okay. Yeah. And I had one more viewpoint that I would like to know your viewpoint on it. That what's the difference between, you know, you see now textile mills, last year what happened in South India is that most of the textile mills were, you know, facing a lot of operational issues. Many of them, they shut down their operations too. How does we have an edge over the South Indian market? I mean, how do you see that market, you know, having a competition? Because a lot of them, they have actually started having new capacities. They have told that they will be coming up with new capacities. So, do you think any kind of, you know, leverage that we have over southern markets?
So, first of all, it's not about south market or north market, you know. It's about how efficient a player is. There are many great spinning companies in south also. They might be listed or not listed. And there are many bad companies in North also. They were not efficient. So I think it's all about efficiency, modernizing. You know, you have to keep on modernizing. You have to keep on investing in your infrastructure. So I think it's nothing to do with North and South as such.
How much percentage of your revenue was from specialty cotton, yarn, sir?
I think it's, you know, there are different definitions of specialty, you know. So we do a lot of, I think in this last year we must have done about 25-30% of specialty yarn made out of specialty.
Most of our yarn must be going into hosiery and weaving?
Yes, yes. You know, it goes in hosiery, weaving, home textile, it goes everywhere. Denim.
So we have like, it's a premium quality yarn that we are doing, or basic, I mean, how exactly do we want to keep ourselves into like premium category or?
So you know, the yarn we make are, you know, so we have a premium standing in whatever yarn we make amongst our competitors. So that's what I can say. So there is nothing like premium yarn or non-premium yarn. The quality, it all depends on the quality and all that. So we are working with best of the brands. So, yeah. So, like, we are not doing ELS, if you mean to say that. Extra long staples, we are not doing that thing now. But otherwise, in whatever segment we are considered to be a premium brand.
The reason I ask you is that, sir, there are certain players, listed peers of yours, who have done like close to around 25% plus kind of margins in southern part of India. So I fail to understand why we are not able to reach that, because at some point we also did that kind of over 1 year, I think 22, where we could achieve that kind of margins. So do you think there is a scope? What would be the blended margin scope going ahead?
Some people are doing how much margin? 25%.
Yeah, they were doing, yeah.
So, you know, it all depends upon what count you are spinning. So we, our general method of us setting our profitability is spindle per shift. So if somebody is making a 100 count on a, you know, 100,000 spindles, they might be making more in percentage wise, but we go mainly by the absolute numbers.
All right, sir. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ayush Habria from Shravas Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you are audible.
Yeah, congrats on a good set. I just had a couple of questions. So starting off, could you just throw some color on what the cotton yarn spreads have been in the month of April? Yes, could you just answer that?
Month of April, like right now, you mean to say? So right now the spreads are the same as they were last quarter, around 135.
Okay, and also how do you see the demand shaping up in the month of April?
Shaping up like April is already gone. You're talking about this quarter or like what?
No, in the month of April, how is the quarter in general, like the first month of this quarter?
So, generally, historically, you know, the market is a little quiet going after Holi, like in April, May, June. But surprisingly, this year we have seen a much better demand than what it used to be. So demand continues to be pretty good right now.
Also, could you just quantify the cotton yarn spread for me on a year-over-year basis? So you're saying this quarter it was 135. How much was it last year?
Last financial year.
Yeah, same quarter last financial year.
Same quarter.
All right, I'll do it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Varun Mishra from AS Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. I actually have a couple of questions. Do we expect our share of exports towards the revenue to rationalize downwards over the next couple of quarters and see more like domestic speaking sales?
Yeah, see, our share of exports generally fluctuates from 45% to 50%. But this quarter it was a little higher. We want the domestic, we feel that domestic demand is going to be much better going forward. So we can see a slight shift in the longer term or maybe medium term. But in short term, I think it will be around this level only.
So, like in terms of long term, how long do you see? So, like 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah, maybe, you know, because a lot of investments are coming in India in the downstream, and not many investments are coming in upstream. So, we see a lot of potential for our domestic demand to, you know, get better going forward. Maybe in another 6 months, 9 months, you know, incremental demand, we believe it's going to come quite soon.
So, like, we can see that reflecting in our revenues in the like Q2 of the next financial year, maybe somewhere like that.
Yeah, maybe. But we generally, you know, we don't have any specific this thing inclination towards any market. We see where the spreads are better. We generally sell there.
Okay, so, all right. And so, like, what has been our export clients' reaction on the whole tariff thing which has been going on right now?
So most of our clients where, you know, where our businesses are, they have all been exempted from the new tariff. And so, you know, everybody is in, you know, everybody is in suspense right now. So the work is going on, people, because we don't export a lot to China. So there, of course, there is a problem. But rest of the clients are pretty positive and they all feel that, you know, their countries, respective countries are going to get, you know, some relief and the business will be as usual, other than China. Rather, most of them are getting a lot of business away from China. So, yeah, so they are pretty positive.
So, like, so have you seen any increase in inquiries post the tariff announcement regarding the customers in the foreign market coming to us for inquiries?
The inquiry, because we are already, you know, running at full book and, you know, we are already working at full capacity. So, you know, the inquiries we feel are pretty similar because we don't have much more capacity and much more material to sell.
Alright, sir. And so, like, what is the domestic clientele demand for now, like, in India? Like, it has been, kind of viable sourcing alternative. So what is your view on that?
Yeah, we feel that India has been doing pretty well for last 4, 5, 6 months, and even in the off season right now, it's doing pretty all right, and so this signifies that you know, Indian apparel exporters have better orders, and we talk to a lot of customers, and they feel they're pretty energized and pretty optimistic about even the orders going forward.
All right, sir. And so my last question is, like, how do you see our...
I am very sorry to interrupt. Mr. Mishra, I request you to rejoin the queue and ask the remaining questions.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aman Madreja from Augmenta Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, first of all, I'd like to understand, basically every year up till March or April, we complete our cotton buying for the whole season. Correctly, if I am wrong. And similarly, we are seeing a reduction in the inventory YOY. Obviously, the prices of cotton are decreased. So can you tell us how we are looking at this, the inventory holding season? And also, apart from this, could you highlight more on the debt reduction journey, because most of the reduction in debt has come from the reduction in short-term borrowing. So are we looking at this ample supply of cotton we are not buying right now, or what is the strategy we are making internally for this upcoming season?
Okay, so right now we are buying cotton. It's not reflecting in our books because, you know, Cotton Corporation of India is giving you 60 days interest free credit, and they hold the material for you. So we don't need to, you know, pay them till the 60th day, and so that the 2 months of inventory which is not going on our financials, and then we had imported some cotton and which is staggered. So the planning has been such because there was no opportunity to buy cotton at a, you know, specific price, and because CCI was holding a lot of cotton. So that's why, you know, our inventory looks to be low, but our coverages are slightly more than that. And about the debt reduction, yes, the most of the debt reduction has been in inventory levels, because of the inventory levels, and whatever the profits were made, they have been making it even less. About long term, we expect to pay off around 70 to 80 crores of our loans this year, and we expect the short term to stay where it is and maybe come even further down.
Sir, given my we would require some short-term debt to run our business also, because last year we had some 485 crores of short-term debt to run the business. So this time, given that CCI provides the 60-day credit and all, So are we sure that less than 200 crores of top line debt would be enough to maybe achieve a revenue growth of high single digits or double digits?
So we are not looking at growing revenue this year because we don't have. We are already running at full capacity, and we don't have we don't need, because the operations are the same. We are not looking at any revenue growth will be in if the prices go up. So we keep on making money every quarter. So we don't feel that we'll be using more of our working capital than what we are doing right now.
Okay, so we should be assured that the debt number will just go down from here.
Yes. We are sure of that the debt level as on 31st March 26 will be lower than where we are right now.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So, with respect to this, you sort of see what happens in another, 60 odd days, but at present there is a 10% tariff on all products, being imported to US. Now, the large retailers in US have basically, according to various media reports, they have been sort of seeking, discounts, from their, suppliers, given that, not be exporting stuff, yarn to US, but part of the same supply chain. So, do you sort of see any sort of pricing pressure, at all? You sort of already mentioned that running pretty full book.
So I get your question. See, we are right now at in dollar terms, and the prices of cotton yarn are at the lowest in maybe 6-7 years. So, we don't see, I think there is not much to squeeze anymore because many countries spinners are shut down because they're not viable. So we don't see, a lot of pressure on spinners right now. And about 10% duty, being shared. So I think that again, from buyer to buyer and, the different clients, they have their own equation with their buyers. Because, with China out of the market, I'm not so sure that people will be looking for more vendors rather than squeezing them for the margins. So
the 10% tariff essentially, in terms of breakdown, mostly it sort of goes to the, buyer, which is basically the US, retailers, and I don't think too much on the supply chain though.
Yeah, because 10% tariffs, ultimately passes into a very small, minuscule change in the MRP, because most of the products which are made are, in India or Bangladesh or wherever, they are, MRP is 7 to 8 times. So the percentage difference in MRP is pretty negligible. And especially with China at 145%, they don't have a choice but to, continue to buy or maybe buy more from, countries which are 10%.
Finally, I remember a while back, I've seen some data that China is, 40% of the global, textile trade. But obviously, other markets over a period of time, Bangladesh, India, Vietnam, they've been gaining. So, China is still, till last year, China was still at such a high level.
So China is significantly big player, of course, by a huge margin. But I think in specifically cotton segment, they are smaller than, because they are very big in synthetic. So they own almost 65-70% of the market.
You have some, just a rough cut, not like a decimal point number, but just a rough cut, what would be China in terms of the global cotton textile trade? Would you have some rough?
I don't have it right now, but I will definitely
I'll put it up. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Netik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for taking my question. So my question pertains to our CapEx plan and the thought process behind it. We haven't announced anything yet. We have been operating at 95-96% utilization for last couple of quarters now, and even if we decide or if we initiate a plan, in FY26, it will at least take a year for it to fructify. So I just wanted to understand how are we thinking on CapEx front.
So we have, as I said in my opening remark, that we have been exploring this for last 3-4 months, and because with the situation with the import duties and the MSP operations and then these tariffs coming in, so we just were being a little cautious on that. But now, more or less we have the gist of the situation that how it's going to play out. So we are speeding up the process, and hopefully very soon sharing it with whatever, with the various options we are exploring. So we'll be sharing it very soon.
Good, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, in the past conference, you had guided that provided the domestic cotton prices achieve parity with international cotton prices, we can achieve 15 or 16% operating margin. So how far are we from there? And like you are saying that the government is seriously considering removal of duty on cotton imports. So once that is done, can we expect margins to go to around 15%?
Yeah, definitely. I think right now Indian cotton is higher by almost 10% than where it should be, internationally. So we are 10% higher prices can, contribute to almost 3-4% in our margin level. So, if the import duties go down, then maybe in couple of quarters, I don't doubt that, we can reach our full potential, which I definitely think is more than 15%.
So,
these are the worst circumstances. The Indian cotton has never been more expensive than international cotton, as far as I remember. And these are, you can say, one of the worst times for spinning, actually. So things can only get better from a cotton perspective there.
So going forward, our CapEx is expected to be on the yarn side or on the forward integration side?
Sir, I'll share it as soon as we are ready with the plan. Right now, I cannot comment because we have not chosen the plan yet.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Samarth Singh from PPF Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Anna Audible.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question. Has the supply chain seen any pre-buying from US retailers trying to get ahead of the tariff? And have we benefited from that in this quarter or the coming quarter?
No, not actually, because 90 days reprieve is not enough for this kind of business. So it takes longer for the supply chains to move. Yeah, there were some the US shippers, of course, are most of the buyers who tell us the government that most of the US shippers are, of course, telling them to ship as soon as possible, but they have their own commitments with other European and Australian and all other vendors countries. So it can only come up, this rush can, and everybody now is of the view that any new order which they take will will only be supplied after 90 days. So we haven't seen that kind of rush right now in our books. So we cannot, with our buyers and all, they are all, acting normal.
Got you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Udit Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So my question is, sir, what would be our top 3-4 export markets and how is Bangladesh shaping up right now?
So our biggest export market is Bangladesh, Bangladesh of course, and Bangladesh has been pretty consistent buyer of Indian cotton yarn for last almost 1 year, and they continue to do so. So it's pretty stable, and they're stable at a high level, and we expect it to be at that level or maybe increase a little bit going forward.
And so the two companies that we have thought about amalgamating with our company, so how is that moving forward?
So yeah, that's still, it's going to take still more time. So there are a lot of legal formalities we have to go through. So I think we'll update you as soon as we have more news on that.
So we will move into garmenting when we get into those companies?
So those companies are already doing garmenting. So yeah, we will slowly get into that, matter field with the amalgamation of those companies.
So this is expected to happen in the current financial year, or sir, it could take longer?
Hopefully, most probably within this financial year. Yes.
And sir, could you explain a little bit about your cotton buying cycle? So like which month we buy and then we hold, and like how does the process take place?
It used to be October to March when we used to buy, but things have changed with all this, global and with the MSP operations and Indian government buying the cotton. So it's very dynamic right now. We see when, evaluate how to go, what's the best time to buy. It keeps on changing every month. So there's no definite plan these days because the government is buying. So we buy from the government. But otherwise, normal, historically, the procurement season is from October till March.
Okay, dear one. And how are the cotton prices right now?
Cotton prices are stable in India, very stable in India. Internationally, they have been very volatile, but within a 10% space. So they have been, as high as 70 and as low as 62, 63 cents per pound. And like in India, it has been like between 53 to 55, 500 per candy.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yash Mahatre from Cruise Capital. Please go ahead.
My first question is, given Bangladesh has remained your highest export destination, what has been the impact on the issue of Indian yarn exports being blocked at the land routes?
So our export to land routes was only on, like about 5 to 10% of our exports were through land routes, and they were mainly, with the customers who wanted just-in-time delivery. So most of those customers have now shifted to by sea route. So we don't see a lot of, impact on, because Bangladesh, you understand, Bangladesh needs yarn, because they don't make the, the amount that's consumed. The only thing is people who wanted the yarns in very quickly for the quick orders, so they will have to buy from locally there. So the local mills have increased prices after this, so which is actually ultimately benefits India only. So I don't know this, and we expect this, to roll, this government to roll back this decision in next 3 to 6 months. But it hasn't affected our, new business at all.
The participant's line has been disconnected. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for being a part of this call, and we appreciate, and if you have any questions or any queries, you can direct it towards the company secretary or MUFGIR. See you all next quarter. Thank you so much.
On behalf of MUFG Intime India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.